This is Tom Wilson, and this is the Literature and Environment podcast. I'm talking to you from Fremantle in Western Australia. This podcast will be updated infrequently until I get to South Carolina in the US in June 2007, where I'll be broadcasting some of the talks from that conference. In the meantime, I thought I'd do a few interviews with people who are interested in the arts and the environment. Starting with Riley Lee. If you're interested in hearing Riley Lee's shakuhachi playing, then please go to the links page on this website and listen to the Riley Lee samples under the section Some of the Things I Like of that page. I'm here at the Perth Concert Hall. It is Tuesday night in Perth. It's been raining all day. It's kind of cool, moist air. I'm standing on the veranda of the Perth Concert Hall, the venue in Perth, Western Australia, where all of the classical music gets played. But tonight it's not classical music, it's Japanese taiko drumming. The name of the group is Taikos, and they're going to be performing a piece called The Gathering. One of the members of Taikos is Riley Lee. Riley is an American originally. He's been living in Japan for a number of years, and the last 20 or 30 years I think he's lived in Australia, in Sydney. He plays the shakuhachi. In fact, in 1980 he was the first non-Japanese person to be given the title Daishihan, which means grandmaster of the shakuhachi. He's produced a number of albums with titles reflective of themes in the natural world, as well as having given some of the profits of his CDs to various nature conservation organizations. Because of this, and because I love his music, I wanted to ask him after the show tonight exactly what he thinks the connection between playing the shakuhachi and his love of the natural world is. So I'm going to be asking him that after the show. I'm not going to be recording any of the show, obviously that would infringe copyright, but hopefully he will be on this podcast right after this. A lot of your albums have titles which are reflective of themes in the natural environment.
Yes.
And three of the albums actually interweave sounds from nature, mm-hmm. with the shakuhachi.
Yep.
The sounds of the caves and the sounds of the rainforest and the sounds of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking it must be quite an important subject for you as an artist, nature. And I just wondered if you had any thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all Japanese art, whether it's music or visual art or theater, ultimately are inspired by nature. The traditional Japanese arts, it all goes back to nature, mm-hmm. all of it. And certainly the shakuhachi is particularly that, because it's such a natural instrument. You know, it still looks like a piece of bamboo.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, you can still see the roots. You can still see, for example, sometimes where the snow might have discolored the skin, or a bit of fungus has made the root end beautifully black or something. So it's a very natural instrument. It's a very natural sounding instrument, and it's originally, you know, traditionally Japanese, and so the nature is such a part of it. And that's just the tradition. Now, personally, nature is important for me, because I think without having our feet on the ground, you know, and our head in the air, we're lost. We don't really. Certainly, I am. I can't speak for everybody, but I am. It's very important to hear those sounds, to smell those smells, and to be a part of nature.
Mm. And I also thought about the way in which you describe in some of your sleeve notes the shakuhachi as a spiritual, playing the shakuhachi as a spiritual practice,
mm-hmm.
rather than simply a form of music.
That's right.
So would you say that there's something to do with the process of creating the music being, or of the spiritual practice being just as important as the end product, in the same way that in nature, I suppose, the process of growth and decay is the whole point mm-hmm. rather than the end product.
Yes, I think that's your spot on, spot right. And a lot of the Shakuhachi tradition has been influenced hugely by Zen Buddhism. And certainly in that way of thinking, the process is all there is. Mm. The means, you know, they are the end. There is no end, in a sense. And one does things and pays attention to doing them and doesn't judge them. And I think when one is thinking so much about the ends, then one places value on certain things and no value on other things or activities, because the things that you know, get you closer to your goal, good. The ones that hinder you from reaching your goal are so-called bad. But in fact, it's not. There's, you know, things are things, activities are activities, and as you say, just like with nature, there's no such thing as a bad tree,
mm.
or a bad hurricane. And it, you know, things. The tree may fall down and crush someone accidentally. But there's no value placed on that action.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, you know, humans, we're just part of nature too. So that really what we do is what we do. And if we pay attention to what we do, and if our intent is not, you know, malevolent or anything, then the ends will come on their own.
Mm,
they'll take care of themselves.
Great. And just finally, your own experiences of the natural world. You spent many years in Hawaii, is that right?
That's right, yes.
Maui?
Well, no, I was on Oahu.
You're in Oahu.
Yeah, my parents live in Kauai, so now I go back to Kauai as often as I can.
It's just personally, I stayed for quite a few months a few years ago on Reunion Islands, which is near Madagascar.
Oh, wow.
And I think the two big islands in the world,
right.
the tropical islands,
yeah.
are Hawaii and Reunion.
Right.
They're both over 2,000 meters tall
right. yeah, yeah, yeah.
at their highest peak. And
oh.
I just personally remembered that combination of the tropical abundance of the flora and the life there growing in the volcanic soil and these soaring mountains, deep blue seas as quite as an experience which stayed with me and really inspired me.
Oh yes.
So I imagine Hawaii is not entirely
very
dissimilar.
Much the same. Yeah, very much the same. Though probably where you're describing might be now even more beautiful, because unfortunately there's a lot of people in Hawaii now. So the, you know, humans don't always do the right thing by the beauty that they find, but there's still certainly a lot of beauty in Hawaii.
And what are some of your favorite places in nature?
Well, I am particularly like ocean. I like to be near it and in it and on it, and more of an ocean person than anything. But there's really, you know, really there, again, there's everywhere is beautiful. You know, people go, for example, here in Australia, there's so much what's called desert, you know, and people say, oh, there's nothing out there, it's just this desert. But it's not true. There's just so much. It's so gorgeous. And some things are maybe more in-your-face stunning. You just, you know, you can't avoid. But other things, perhaps other places of nature or things of nature require a little more quiet, a little more time to appreciate the subtleties of that natural place. But personally, I do like ocean.
Okay. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you.